bum 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 bum. Mr. Sandman.
Bum 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 bum.
Mickey, the cutest that I've ever seen.
I don't know the rest.
That's Halloween, isn't it?
Is it?
What?
Is it Halloween? Mr. Sandman, isn't that in Halloween?
Oh god, that's a fucking fantastic question and I don't know the answer to it.
I think it is. I need to look it up now for my own brain because it's starting to itch and I need to scratch it.
I understand those feels and I hate them. It's the worst. It's like I was watching... Oh my god, what was I watching the other day? Fuck's sake! Detective Pikachu. I was watching Detective Pikachu.
Oh, such a good...
It's so good. I was so happy with it. But I was like, I know the dude. Why do I know the dude? And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, he's the dickhead from All the Bright Places that you made me watch, which is a terrible movie.
Savannah, wait, right. One, I'm going to interrupt. Yes, it was Halloween. But two, that film made me bawl my eyes out. The man had, like, mental issues. And
selfish.
Because he's bald, he was a dickhead.
Selfish.
Oh, God.
I did not enjoy 0 out of 10.
So heartless.
I was not sad. I was angry. I was like, this motherfucker has the audacity.
It actually broke my heart. Like, I was lying in bed and I do when you're doing like the ugly cry where you can't even like make a sound. You're like that. It's like that pain in your chest. You're like, fuck. That's literally what I was like.
Fuming.
I was in hysterics.
I was fucking fuming. And then that kind of made me hate him a small bit for Detective Pikachu, but then I loved him, so it was fine.
Oh, he's a gem.
It was a great movie. And then like I kind of forgot what way Ryan Reynolds was in it, and I was like, when does Ryan Reynolds come into this? And then I was like, oh yeah, he's Pikachu. And then David was like,
Pikachu.
Pikachu talks. And I was like, oh sorry.
I was like, oh shit.
I mean, he should have known. The film has been out for like 3 years. It's just because it just came onto our
Netflix.
We finally got to watch it because we can't illegally download.
Fucking Germans and their rules.
Honest to god, two whole countries in the world actually give a shit about piracy, and I happen to move to one of them. Like, disgusted.
What's
absolutely
the other one?
Disgusted. I think it's Switzerland.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. Fucking rule loving rubes.
They're not tearaways like the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Like illegal activity.
Things are only illegal in Ireland if you get caught doing them, and that is a fact. The law doesn't mean anything until it has to.
Sure. Do you remember the time over here they accidentally legalised Class A drugs for like 24 hours, so the likes of ket, coke, opiates, they were all legal.
Yep.
Because somebody fucked up.
Only in Ireland would that happen. Like,
oh,
genuinely. Oh, that was the funniest fucking time.
I've seen.
Seriously surprised that people didn't take advantage of that more, though.
Honestly, because they're probably like, I wonder if we go around as like throwing like bags of coke at kids.
Yeah.
Like you would like sweets at a parade. Can you get in trouble?
I mean, the fact that you're throwing bags of coke at kids, probably you would get in trouble.
But the fact that I'm sure if it's legal, what's the issue?
I think was it legal for all ages, though? Or was it like, you know, they...
No, it didn't matter.
Oh my god.
It wasn't a class defence. So technically...
It wouldn't even have counted as like child abuse or...
No.
As Quiva gave us last week, aiding the delinquency of a minor.
Exactly.
That is hilarious. Oh my god. Because that's what I was fully expecting. I was just expecting people to be walking down the road, needles hanging out of veins, fucking nose full
like
of pouch.
Like Wolverine,
nocta.
Just the fucking hypodermic needles. Like, it's true, they're fucking knuckles, because that's the only fucking veins they have left that aren't collapsed.
Is that a hypodermic needle in your pants, or are you just happy to see me? This is a weird way to start the podcast, but I'm not sad about it. I'm really
it
not.
It is. No.
It was Halloween. Oh, that's right. What started. I was like, how did this even begin? And it's kind of strange that we went to this point from Detective Pikachu. But great movie. Big fan.
Our brain works in mysterious ways.
It really
not
does.
Mad about it.
Scared
about it, but not mad about it.
Our train of thoughts should probably be analysed by some serious therapists at some point. Because like...
I would love it. Like, sit me down. Tell me what's wrong.
I feel like mentally stable
not about you, about me.
Don't have these kind of tangents.
They probably don't. But then again, that's a very dull existence.
It is. I'd hate to be normal, because I wouldn't be able to entertain myself.
No. Like, I know I'm mental. I know I am.
But we're like the kind of mental fun. That's never going to stab anyone, and isn't that really what we want?
I mean, there's still time. I will not ruin my
I don't know why I said never. That haven't currently stabbed anyone.
Exactly.
I feel like it'll be Caoimhe first, and just to shock everyone. Like, everyone expects me or you to finally snap and become a serial killer, and then Caoimhe, the quiet bitch, is just like, by the way, Caoimhe has 6 bodies in her freezer currently, so.
I would be shocked, but in no way surprised.
Yes.
It doesn't fit 6.
Or maybe 4, so. Maybe you get a chest freezer, Caoimhe. Yeah, into like itty bitty pieces. Yeah. You could blend them up and make like a human soup, and then technically still, or like 6 bodies are still technically in your freezer. They're just Nutribullet.
Speaking, No.
No, I might get one of these chest freezers altogether.
I think a chest freezer is the way to go. I love my chest freezer. I miss the giant one we used to have in the old house. That fit fucking everything. You could fit a full deer in there along with your week shopping, like. At least 2 bodies, like full. You know,
chest freezers freak me out though, because I'm actually expecting to find a body. So, I do not like them.
Every so often I'd get the urge to climb into it, and I'm like, why? Why do I have these destructive tendencies? It's like that moment when you're stood on top of a cliff and you're like, I could just jump. I should just jump. Will I just jump? And then you're like, I should probably not jump.
Oh, I get them too.
Yeah, I had that, but looking into a fucking chest freezer. Honest to God.
Like, your nips would literally freeze to bits.
Yeah.
That they'd be able to cook glass. Like, that is just
not... apparently it's not the worst way to die. Like, for the first while you're freezing to death, it's horrific. But then you actually feel really warm and peaceful, and then you go.
Oh yeah, sure, what's that called? Hypothermia?
Yep.
That you start to get, like, really warm and, like, stripping. Not stripping as in, like, dancing stripping, but, like, taking your clothes off.
You're just slowly dying.
In a non-sexual manner, you're just overheating.
I can feel it, baby. Bam, bam. But alas... we are not here to talk about my destructive tendencies of trying to self-kill.
No.
We're here to talk about other people's destructive tendencies to kill. So.
Yeah.
We are back for another heavy hitter series, but we're doing 3 separate stories again, much like our Chris Watts Black Dahlia West Memphis series. And we're starting it off with Lizzie.
And I've decided to absolutely traumatise myself and the masses today, because this is quite easily the most horrific thing I have ever researched in my entire life. And I said that before about, like Savannah had just mentioned, the West Memphis 3, because that was horrific in itself. This was fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
And to be honest, there is a part of it that I'm just going to race through, but for the point of the story, I am going to have to say what happened. But, like, the last time, or the last episode where we had to give a timestamp for Pee-wee and his tragic shit, I'll give one again in the description for this week, because, trust me, not everybody is going to want to hear what happened.
We could just fast forward through it. And those laughs really that we had there at the start of the episode, cherish them, because they are the last we will have in this story. There's 0% chance that even my dark humour...
disintegrated.
Yeah. There's no hope.
Goodbye. No.
Say goodbye to happiness.
Even I can't rectify it. From here on out, misery. Just like my life. So before I even start, I just want to credit my sources for this week. So most of it is from a documentary called Unforgiven, The Boys Who Killed a Child, and from The Guardian. And then just like stories as well from my mum, because for whatever reason my mum decided she would try to tell us a bit about this murder when we were children to stop us from watching horror films. It's a whole ordeal.
That seems very counterproductive. Considering you now sit here.
Considering what I now do.
Yeah. I feel like she just sparked your interest.
I'll watch horror films to go to sleep. Yeah. Like, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
We will start with a let's dive in.
So for this week, I'm going to be doing James Bulger, or as most people know him, Jamie Bulger. So Jamie was born on March 16th, 1990, and he was brutally murdered on February 12th, 1993, just about a month shy of his 3rd birthday.
It already starts sad.
Yeah. Oh, there's literally no joy in this, and when I mean it, there is no joy. I'm going to get so vexed and so angry, so I've literally had to move throwable objects from my eyeline, because on that fateful day, Jamie's mother Denise went to the Strand Shopping Centre in Merseyside, Liverpool, with a friend, and they brought Jamie along with them. They walked around for a little bit, just doing, you know, a casual bit of window shopping, getting a few bits for the dinner. Just a normal day out to them. And about 20 to 4, Denise and Jamie both went to the butcher's. And while Denise was paying for her shopping, she let go of Jamie's hand for just a moment. I mean, just to put the money back in her purse. And when she went down to grab his little hand again, He was gone.
Jesus Christ.
Obviously then, in that situation, she's presuming he's still in the butcher's because it happened that quick. She's going to think, okay, he's after going down one of the aisles. But she needless, like, she ran down each aisle anyway, still looking for him, expecting him to be there.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. There was no sign of him, and nobody had seen him even leave the butcher's. So she then goes out to the main complex of the shopping centre. She starts running around, screaming his name, looking for him, asking other members of staff, security guards, if they had seen him. But nobody had. So a routine security procedure was done. So a description of Jamie was called over the main tannoid that went to all shops, the main complex, so everybody would have heard it. So the announcements then were frequently made asking people to come forward if they had seen Jamie, and if they had seen him, could they please escort him to kind of the main information desk, because that's where his mom and security would be waiting for him. But nobody came forward. And of course, like, the shopping centre staff took this completely serious, but kids go missing in shopping centres all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, they wander off, they don't know how to wait or make their way back. So it's kind of a common occurrence. And they thought, look, Jamie, he's just after wandering off somewhere. Yeah, he's going to be a little bit upset. He could be a bit scared, a bit frightened, but he'll be found safe. Because you're just going to think, like, he's after, like, walking down to now one of the further on shops. Somebody could be in the midst of, like, after finding him to bring him back up, and they're just, like, missing each other.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Of course, you're not going to assume the worst straight off of the bat, like, not with something like that, because, like you said, kids do wander off all the fucking time.
Yeah. All the time. I did it once.
Yeah,
maybe
it
not
once.
In a shopping centre, but do you know, like, you still, your parents are going to, like, shit themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just, because anything, not even, like, necessarily you could think that, oh, someone had taken him. Sure, he could have fell down a fucking escalator, do you know, like,
yeah,
trying to walk down it, or, like, he could have just tripped over and fell. Anything.
Anything.
I feel
all,
like,
you know?
You automatically do go to, like, this is what might, like, you go to the worst case scenario, and then you say, no, like, hopefully, like, he's probably just in a shop somewhere playing with some toys, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like your brain does that to, like, try prepare you for, like, the worst outcome possible.
Definitely.
But then you have to, like, try, like, ration it to yourself, be like, no, okay, like, I know that was what my immediate thought was, but this is more likely...
the case, yeah.
What had happened, 100%.
Yeah, like, don't be negative or whatever.
Exactly. But not one person came forward to say that they had seen Jamie, and his mum, the shopping centre staff, couldn't find, like, any trace of him. Not one bit. So as a result then, the police were immediately contacted, and Detective Phil Roberts was sent out to investigate. And even by his own admission, initially he didn't think anything sinister, as in like a kidnapping,
yeah,
had happened to Jamie. He thought maybe he had wandered off somewhere and he was just scared and alone by himself, like crying in a corner, you know, frightened to even move because he doesn't know where he is and he doesn't see his mom.
Yeah, because again, kids do tend to hide before they'll do anything else. Like, if you can hide in a safe spot, then they feel safe and that's where they're going to stay.
Exactly, until they're found.
Yeah.
You're dead right. But their biggest worry wasn't that Jamie Doe was taken. It was that he could have actually gotten run over, because where the Strand Shopping Centre is in Liverpool, it's like literally right by a main road.
Okay.
And this main road is very heavy with like traffic and people do bomb up the road the whole time. So they thought maybe he could have walked out and accidentally stumbled in front of a car, which, to be honest, it's not that hard to think of, like, it's a fair assumption because he was that small. If someone was like bombing up the road, they wouldn't have seen him walk out in front of a car. Do you know what I mean? So that's what their initial thought was. So they went out, checked the roads, couldn't see a sign of like an accident, you know, if somebody could have like hit him and then had like fled the scene or anything like that. Like, everything looked like it was in place as it should. So people started combing the streets for him, so including the police, shopping centre staff, obviously his mum and his friend, and then people that were in the shopping centre and had heard that a child went missing. They offered their service, like, oh my god, of course, like, we'll go help look as well.
Oh, bless.
So the police then started searching the three canals in the immediate area, because they were fearful, fuck, like, he could have walked out, could have got across a road, but he could have fallen into one of these canals. Which is also a fair assumption, like,
yeah,
to know. He just could have wandered. Our cars could have stopped to let him go, but nobody would have intervened for whatever fucking reason, because sometimes people just don't. But while the search was ongoing for Jamie, his mother was brought down to the police station door just to file a missing persons report, because that's what it was now being treated as. And she had to give an account of what happened. And also, 24 hours had passed and nobody had came forward to say that they'd seen him. So 24 hours now, this child is missing and not one person apparently has seen him at this point.
That's insane.
So now the police are starting to treat it as an abduction. Because they're like, okay, nobody has seen him, but the child has clearly gone missing. So obviously somebody has taken him and is like concealing him.
Yeah.
Is what they're thinking now. So CCTV footage was handed over to the police, which contained their very first piece of evidence. So on that footage, a toddler could be seen walking out of the shopping centre hand in hand with two young boys. Now the quality of the CCTV footage was absolutely gick, like worse than 144p. It was so bad. It was It was filmed on the potato. So you could literally, you couldn't see detail at all. Like it was
just pixelated shapes.
It was bad. So when the police saw the footage, they suspected, okay, these boys look like they're 14 years of age, ranging between 10 and 18, but their primary focus was on boys that were 14.
Yeah.
But when Denise, Jamie's mom, saw the footage, she was adamant. She was like, no, I don't care how bad that is. I know that's my boy. And she was adamant that it was Jamie.
Yeah.
So
sadly, the police theorised that the boys that Jamie were seen with might have kind of took him to like play a game of house, almost, as in like they were going to be looking after him and going to be treating him as like a little brother, like they were going to mind him as well as they could,
right?
You know, that they just had him kind of held up somewhere, that they weren't actually going to do any harm.
Mm-hmm.
And this was very comforting to the Bulger family, because they almost felt relieved that this was a possibility. Because if you think of it, you don't actually imagine anything sinister when you imagine kids with other kids, because typically kids don't do awful things.
Yeah, it's not like they would have
seen
some
assume
creepy looking man take their kid away, then they would have assumed the worst instantly, whereas in this exactly. case it was just other kids.
Yeah,
so what are they going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so to the Bulger family and the police, the likelihood of Jamie being found safe and well skyrocketed.
Mm.
Because even like if that were me, well, I can't obviously say dead fact that this would be me, but I think I'd feel a little bit reassured if I saw him with other kids.
Yeah,
you're like, okay, he could be up in like a fucking tree house. He could be in somebody's house and the parents don't know what to do. They could be like now trying to get in contact with the police. They might have him in a fucking garden shed, anything. But like they said, they were trying to take care of him as best as they could.
Yeah.
Kind of treating him like a pet almost.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know? So the CCTV footage was then released to the public, and Denise made an appearance on the national news pleading for Jamie to be returned home. But yeah, again, this amounted to nothing. Nobody initially recognised the two boys from the footage, and their police then focused their attention on interviewing boys from the area aged between 10 and 18, but still the focus on the 14-year-olds. So local coppers were given still images of the footage and were asked if they recognised the two boys or if they had anybody on file, particularly boys that had been in trouble, that matched the description. But unfortunately, it was kind of like a poor area where social workers were in and out of a lot of these houses where all the kids were in trouble. So it literally could have been any one of them. So it did not help narrow down their search
at all.
And then on the 14th of February, a scene so horrific was discovered that nobody was expecting. Exactly 2.5 miles away from the abduction site in Walton, a group of children were discovered Jamie's body severed on a train track. So a group of kids playing found him. Like, that is going to be horrific for anybody to see. But a group of kids aged between 5 and 9 finding this.
Jesus. They're fucking scared for life, like.
I actually can't even, like, process, like, how they would cope with that.
No.
Even then and now as adults.
Like, no amount of therapy is going to get that out of your fucking brain, like.
No. Absolutely not. A manhunt was now underway. So various magazine editors, thank God as well, they volunteered their services, because they said, look, we're going to try clear up the images as best we can and we'll like re-release them to the public.
No.
So everybody was like really rallying, trying to find out who these two boys were. And over 60 boys from the Walton area aged between 14 and 18 were questioned. And even one poor young lad, like, he'd absolutely nothing got to do with it. Obviously because he was in the age demographic and because of where he lived, where the body was found, he had to be brought in for questioning.
Mm-hmm.
But word got out that he had been questioned, so his family were fucking terrorised and they had to flee Liverpool, like, and they couldn't come back.
Oh my God.
Like, his house was being like bombarded, like people were coming and threatening him, like saying, oh, I know it's you, blah, 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 blah. Like, the family were getting death threats, even though he was only one of 60
Yeah.
That were questioned.
What the fuck?
But it was that bad.
That's horrific. Like, why the fuck would you just assume it was this one out of 60?
60, yeah. I don't understand. Like, unless it was something like, maybe he lived close enough to the railway line, or like, I don't know, like, they could have been drawn like their own rationales out of thin air. Do you know what I mean? But
I couldn't find why in specific. Or something, and they just assumed that because he had a bad attitude, he was a murderer.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Fucking people.
He must have had a name for himself or something in some other way, and they were like, well, you know, he's a dickhead, you know, in school or something.
If the shoe fits. Yeah.
Must be him.
So a couple of days later, the police were contacted by a woman, and she claimed that she actually recognised one of the boys because he was her student. So she said on the morning of the 12th of February, her student had skipped school with one of his friends, and these would be two 10-year-old boys, Robert Thompson and John Venables. So now all that searching that the police were initially doing was gone out the fucking window, because they were mainly focusing on kids that were 14 to 18. And even when you see these kids, they don't look like they're 14. Like, they literally look like they're 10.
Yeah.
So the police weren't even 100% sold that the boys were actually the suspects, because like that they were still firmly believed that their initial assumption was right, and that the boys that had taken Jamie looked to be about 14.
Mm.
So their plan was, to go to the boys' homes, but it was essentially to eliminate them as a suspect.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, just kind of
cover all
cut off
bases,
any loose end of it. Yeah, exactly. Have it at least covered for paperwork's sake, but wasn't the main focus.
They were probably getting a lot of leads like that, though, as well. As like, a lot of people saying, I know who these boys are. And then it kind of turns out false, so...
Yeah, like, I can't imagine... What was I going to say again? Like, them not getting called off a few weirdos.
Yeah.
Because even, like, after this, like, it's not really important to story right now, but even people still terrorise his mother with, like, Twitter accounts pretending to be John Venables and pretending to be the ghost of her kid and everything like that. Like, so many people have been arrested for harassing Jamie's mother, pretending either to be John Venables or Robert Thompson, like, as their adults. And horrendous shit. So sick people obviously do exist, and they are out there, so I can't assume, like, they're not going to not do it now.
I cannot even fathom doing that to somebody. Like, how the fuck are you that sick
absolutely
of a person?
Not. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Some people are just fucked. So, like, I completely agree. Like, I'd say they are getting loads of calls of people pretending that they know who it is and etc.
Yeah, so they probably even just chalked it up to another
false people
lead.
Even fucking confessing, like.
Yeah. Oh, I'd say
exactly.
So.
So Detective Phil Roberts, that was initially signed the case, visited Robert Thompson's home, while another group of investigators then went to John Venables. So they both did it at the same time to just, like, split the task force.
Yeah.
So Detective Roberts said that he introduced himself to Robert Thompson and explained to him who he was and why he was there. But when Thompson was told about Jamie, he gave a curt, yeah, I know, did not give a shit, didn't care.
What the fuck?
And Detective Roberts told Thompson, for a child.
Like, if the guards showed up at my door, like, at that age, like, you know, when you were small and it was like the guards walked past and, like, you weren't even doing anything wrong, and you'd be, like, shitting your pants, or, like,
oh yeah, 100%
going through security in the airport, and you know you're fucking,
you feel
7
like you
years
have a bomb
age.
Strapped to your ankles, and you're like, I literally have nothing. I don't even have liquids. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're terrified.
Like, genuinely, Adam was in trouble a lot with the guards as a child, because he was a little cunt and he was always up to shite. Like, whenever they would come to the door, I would actually shit myself as if I was the one in trouble, even though I knew full well they were there for Adam for some petty bullshit. Like, so.
Yeah.
And I was always like, yes, sir, like, how are you? Hello, yeah, love you. You do a great job. Thank you for your service.
Exactly. Like,
and I would have been about the same age, like 10. I would have been about 10.
Yeah.
So that is the complete polar opposite of a fucking normal reaction.
The complete opposite of what you'd expect, like, a child to have.
That's terrifying.
But then when Detective Roberts told Thompson that, look, you're going to have to come down to the police station because we've asked you a few questions, Robert Thompson got very, 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 very fucking nervous and would visibly start to shake. So, look, one could assume, okay, a child is obviously going to be nervous around a policeman. That's after telling him that, look, a body of a little boy has been found. You need to come down to the police station. You can assume that's going to, like, rattle somebody.
Of course.
But given the reaction that he had when he first got told about the body, you link them two together.
Yeah, doesn't seem right.
Uh-huh. And that he had to answer a few questions about, obviously, something awful that had happened. But Detective Roberts then told Thompson as well, like, look, your mom's going to have to come down and we're going to be questioning somebody else as well that you might have been with. Oh, well, this little cunt. He started crying, right? But Detective Roberts actually said it unnerved him, the sight of this child crying, because he knew it was not genuine. He said he was crying, but there was absolutely no remorse, that they were just crocodile tears. And it's one thing that he has seen that has shook him to his core and still stays with him to this day. That he did not mean a single thing when he started crying.
That, no, that's so disturbing.
Yeah. Like water just falling from his eyes, but not, no emotion behind it.
That,
at all.
Ew.
Yeah. So I'm just going to go into like a little bit of background about the two boys and kind of their home lives, just like an insight into their background. So Robert Thompson, 10 years old at this point, he's one of seven kids. So you could speculate that neither one of those seven kids got the full amount of attention that they needed. And of course, like, raising a whole fucking soccer team of kids isn't like an easy feat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're in a poor area as is. And it's also rumored that Robert Thompson's father, Robert Thompson Sr., would often beat the shit out of his wife, Anne, in front of the kids. So violence is almost becoming like normalized in the house at this point.
Yeah.
He even had an affair, which the wife knew about. Like, he told Anne all about it, but would say, well, if you're deciding to leave me over this affair, I'm going to leave you with the fucking seven kids. So she had no money to look after them. So he was a bastard by all accounts.
What
so
a piece of shit. Yeah. Like, my God.
And he, like, oh, he's an awful man. An awful man. Like, he never even spent time with the kids. Like, he was always down in the pub or, like, shagging everyone that, like, fucking came around the corner. Like, he just didn't care about them. And, like, he kind of just made up with his promise and said, look, fuck it, I'm gone. And left Anne with the seven kids. And do you know how much he gave her? He gave her £5. Not weekly, not for each kid. Exactly £5 to look after the kids. And then he fucked off with his new mistress, the barmaid that he was sleeping with. And never saw any of the kids again.
Just £5. What?
£5. £5.
Like, even if you said £5 weekly to me, I would have been like, what good is that to anyone? £5.
One payment. That's a meal deal. I shit one at that. That barely feeds like one person.
That's like, genuine. Back then was probably like a sack of spuds, and that's it. Like
£5.
That.
So Anne was now the sole like carer of these seven kids, and so she couldn't cope with the amount of pressure that she was now under. And as a result, she turned to the only thing that, in her eyes, could help her, which was alcohol.
Drink, of course.
She just used it as a crutch then, because it was the only thing to try numb the pain that she was going through.
Yeah.
And Anne got lost in her addiction, and she could no longer give the kids like any real duty of care. So the kids were left to fend for themselves, quite literally. Like, they'd go out, they would shoplift the whole time to feed themselves. They never went to school. And they'd even like start turning on each other in like quite brutal ways. Like, they'd beat the shit out of each other like constantly. But they'd also like do cruel stuff to each other, like locking each other in sheds, like beating them to the point that they were like bloody. They would like poke each other, pinch each other, like horrible stuff.
Jesus.
But nothing was ever done, because like Anne couldn't cope. She couldn't cope with herself, let alone with seven kids. So
yeah.
Social workers were in and out of the place the whole time, but they were never actually like taken off of her and put into like the system. I know it's terrible, like kids shouldn't have to go into the system, but I feel like
they definitely would have been better off.
That was better.
Yeah.
Than there.
If you're there, 100%. They're not being fed, they're not being educated, they're not being given the right amount of love and affection that they deserve. They obviously don't get on, so it's not like it matters if the seven of them are fucking split up.
Split up, no.
So, like, what the fuck were the social workers looking at when they went there to think that that was okay?
I don't know.
I know the system has been overwhelmed for a long time, but, like, come on.
The thing is, though, is like, maybe that was normal back then. Like, how bad was everyone?
It could have been, like, an area thing, because,
like maybe they weren't the worst.
That they were in, it could have been... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, they might have been kind of average, you know? that there was like much worse situations going on. They were obviously not in a good spot.
Could have been a thing of they went in, the house was clean, and yeah, there might have been food in there, but food from that the kids have nicked.
Yeah. So they wouldn't have really known then, and I suppose like an alcoholic never admits that they're an alcoholic, so she would have like cleaned herself up for when the social worker visits were coming.
Yeah.
Fucking hell though.
So, you know, like, I'm not trying to defend what this kid had done, because I feel like he has something extra.
Yeah.
But he hasn't got an easy life by any means. No. As well. And now we're going on to John Venables. And he was also 10 years old at the time. So he was one of three kids and two of his other siblings. So he had an older brother and a younger sister. And they were both actually disabled.
Right.
And John would often mimic his siblings' action in order to get attention from his mother. So even when he was in school, he would start smacking his head off the table. He would start rocking back and forth, like mumbling things like incoherently. And it was all just to like get the attention off his mother, because like that, like he had both of his parents.
Special needs are going to need more care than the functional one. I don't know how to say that.
No, I know what you're trying to say. But like his dad was very much of the opinion that it has to be a traditional household, so the mother is left at home to raise the kids.
Right.
He had to go out and work. But if you're just one person looking after two kids with severe disabilities and another child that's trying to mimic their behaviour, that is a lot on one person. And obviously she's going to focus her attention on the two that, not that John didn't need any attention and affection, obviously he did.
Yeah.
But the duty of care would have been a lot more for the two had the disabilities.
I mean, they can't take care of themselves in any way, shape or form.
Exactly.
Even though John was only 10, he still was physically and mentally able to take care of himself.
Yeah.
So she's going to go for the ones that can't do anything at all for themselves first.
Yeah, exactly. And so like Robert's mom, she, like Susan, also turned to alcohol as a crutch because she herself couldn't fucking cope with the amount of pressure that she was now under.
Yeah.
So
it's so sad. Jesus Christ.
It is. It's actually horrendous. So John was also badly bullied by the kids in his estate because his siblings were disabled, so they would mock him for having a brother and a sister with special needs.
Of course. Because kids are awful. So,
kids are bastards, as this story so quietly, clearly proves. But along with the headbanging in school, the acting out, John would also self-harm. So he'd take scissors and slash at himself.
Jesus.
Quite a lot. And on one very, very serious incident in school that one could now say was possibly an indicator of what was to come.
Oh.
One day in class, John had a falling out with a student. That was a completely stupid thing. It wasn't anything serious. Like, it didn't involve like any name calling or anything like that. A very petty situation had happened where, like, I'm not one of them, you are, type of thing. Though, like, nothing horrendous that you would concern yourself with if you were a teacher, if you'd seen two kids bickering. But at this little small fallout, John completely lost his mind and strangled the other child with a ruler. So he had her pressed down on the floor with a ruler over her throat.
What the fuck?
And he would not let up at all. It took two grown teachers to pull the child off of, like, pull John off the child. He just lost it. And he was not letting up at all. And it was still when the teachers pulled him off, he was fighting them tooth and nail to get back, like, at the kid that was on the floor.
So he was fighting to finish her, like, he was not...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. And as a result, he was only given suspension for 2 days, but his mom kept him home for 10 weeks. So in my mind, she was like, you are not going back there, because she didn't trust him.
Yeah.
She even probably, like, felt herself 2 days wasn't enough.
No. I mean, for attempted murder, I know he's a child, but, like, it's still attempted murder.
Attempted murder, yeah.
Two days of a suspension, like, get the child assessed. What the fuck, man?
I did not understand that from the school's point of view at all. If anything, to me, that would have been an automatic expulsion, not a suspension.
He tried to kill another student, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And had to be physically dragged off and then still fought like a rabid dog.
I've known people who've been expelled for less, like...
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
And as a result, John fell behind, obviously, with his schoolwork because he wasn't in school. His mom obviously wasn't being able to, like, sit down and do his lessons with him while he was at home for 10 weeks because she had to mind two other kids that had disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So he fell behind. It was going to happen.
Yeah.
So they thought, look, it'd be better just transfer him schools, get him to repeat the year, a fresh start. And this is when Thompson and Venables met for the very first time. They both got on extremely well, and because in the way they were exactly the same. Both mothers were alcoholics, both had absentee fathers, both were like bullied either by like their peers or by their own siblings, so they just went together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two broken pieces that fit perfectly.
So now we're going to go back into the interrogation room. So Robert Thompson initially blamed the whole ordeal on John Venables, saying that John was the one that grabbed Jamie from the shopping centre and did all these bad things to him. Robert also claimed that he begged John to take Jamie back to the Strand shopping centre. And by the way, you can listen to the tape recordings of this little fuck in the interrogation room and his confession. Ooh. And when I tell you, it is the most haunting thing I have ever heard, because you can hear just a lack of emotion in this boy's voice. Like, he's trying to make it sound like he's upset, but you know he's not.
That's so it's creepy.
It's disgusting. It like, I got full body chills. It was sick.
Because you just don't get that with kids. We're fully used to it with adults, but not with fucking kids.
Kids. And he would often repeat to himself, oh, now I'm going to get the blame. Like, trying to put on that tone that he was sad. Like, I could not wrap my head around it. Like, you'd think if a child had done something bad and, like, they realised that, they would be, like, in hysterics. Like,
yeah.
With actual emotion, not being like, oh, I'm going to get the blame now.
But that sounds like sociopathic shit, that he's, like, he's been watching other people, like, how do they sound, mm-hmm. and how do they look when they are sad, and when they do feel bad. He's like, I don't feel like that, but this will be useful, so he takes notes.
Exactly.
But he just hasn't perfected it yet.
Because it sounds like he's describing somebody broke a vase and he's trying to get away with breaking the vase, not murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And it's like, I'm not really going to mention it too much because it kind of goes into like his later life, but he basically did end up having a child psychologist that said he was an undiagnosed psychopath, that there was nothing he could do, like, this was just the way
he was born.
Yeah, he just, that was his, like, an excuse for him.
Yeah.
Just him. And he wouldn't even tell the police anything cohesive, and he would often catch himself out in a lie. So he would say, oh yeah, we had Jamie, we went to the pet shop, and would start going on a story. And then the policeman would go back and ask him questions about what he had just repeated them. And instead of saying, oh, he went to the pet shop, he'd be like, oh yeah, when we went to the supermarket, we had Jamie, and the policeman would be like, oh, but I thought you went to the pet shop. And he'd be like, we went to the pet shop and then we went to the supermarket. Stupid shit like that. Right. He wasn't even being, like, cohesive about. Like, he was, like, I don't know if it's purposely he was trying to catch them up in a lie, or if, like, that he's, look, he's fucking 10, even though he is an actual, like, psychopath.
Yeah, he's not got that innate capacity to properly lie and build an alibi for himself yet.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how good were you at getting out of a lie at 10 o'clock, at 10 years of age?
Brutal.
Brutal, absolutely fucking terrible. Brutal. I couldn't even lie about not having my homework
done. But I think that's
done.
Because we felt bad, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a guilt thing, like, we knew we were, like, caught. Whereas, like, he sounds like he's just a bit fucking
You're dead right.
Yeah, that is true as well, actually. You know, I don't
like,
know.
A lot like that, what catches kids is like the fact that they actually feel guilty, and they like they go red and they start panicking,
they
and
panic.
Like all this kind of stuff. He didn't do any of that. He just wasn't able to get his story straight.
Stone face.
Well, I mean, lack of empathy, lack of sympathy,
just,
lack of everything, but
convincing.
You can still panic. So he could be still panicking about the fact that he's getting caught for it. He just doesn't care that he committed the murder.
True,
he doesn't want to go down for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
John Venables started lying from the get-go. He tried to tell the police that he was nowhere near the Strand, and in fact, he wasn't even in Liverpool at the time. He was counties away.
Was he?
Even with his whole parents sitting there, like, John.
Are you sure?
We were in the house.
Jesus so Christ, like.
He refused to cooperate with the police until the second day of questioning. So the coppers, like, eventually mentioned that Robert had admitted that they were both on this railway track where Jamie's body was found. And at this new information, it's like John, something broke in his brain, because he literally threw himself out of the chair, wailing, like on his back, like rolling around the place, screaming, crying, started hugging his mom, hugging the police officers.
What the fuck?
Like a manipulative little shit. And he was like, any question he was asking, he would cry, be like, we never.
Ew.
In this whiny fucking, and you can hear this as well, by the way. This one, his one freaked me out more than Robert's, because Robert's, I feel like he wasn't trying to hide who he was. He knew he was a little fucking psychopath. With John, it was like he was actively trying to pretend on a much grander scale about how distraught he was.
Yeah, and it's almost
and
like
that he wasn't as guilty.
I know he's 10, right? Okay, yeah, he is a kid, but it sounds like baby acting still. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like he's reverting back to like a 5-year-old rather than a 10-year-old because of that kind of carry on.
Yeah.
But that's him playing up being a kid though. Like,
yeah.
When I was like a kid, right? And we were in the fields, like in the countryside, you know, you're not really meant to be kind of wandering through other people's land. And I would never do it now. But when I was a kid, I was like, sure, I'm a kid. You know, they're just going to tell me to not come back and that's going to be it. But like, I knew once I got to a certain age that you'd get in trouble.
It's the shotgun.
More so than
from there on
like,
out.
Oh, they're just a kid. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just like, kids are very much aware of the fact that they'll get away with stuff.
That is true. Yeah.
Do you know?
That's so, I don't know.
You are aware of it. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm fucking 10 years of age. Like, I'm not going to, like, get in serious trouble for going here or doing that, like, because I'm a kid. Do you know?
See, I had the complete opposite. I knew I would get in trouble for, like, the stupidest shit, even if I was a kid. Mine was totally the opposite.
I got in shite for breathing, so, like, everything was trouble for me. I never really had that level of confidence. But, yeah, like, I do get what you mean. Like, play up on the fact of, like, I'm but a small child.
I did no wrong, sir.
Yeah.
I didn't know any better. That's what he was trying to do.
I didn't know, like, oh, that, sorry, oh my God. And then,
I
know,
now know that
murder tell you,
is
oh,
bad.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, exactly.
So at the end of the second day of questioning, John Venables just finally said, I killed the baby. Can you tell his mom I'm sorry?
Ew!
Yep. In his tiny Scouse accent, and it made me want to punch the child so hard in the fucking face. Not that there's anything wrong with people from Liverpool. Lovely people, lovely accent. But just when you hear this tiny fucking terror say that in an interview, it's the most horrendous thing.
Like that's going to make it all better.
It's like, it's a very scary accent when they're rough. Yeah. Like, when I was in Spain, like, there was a load of Scousers over there. And they're very, very rough when they're rough, like.
So John said that he helped in the killing of Jamie. But when it came down to the abduction, it was all Robert. Is basically what he tried to say, that he had no actual part in it at all. But if you were to ask Robert said it was mainly John that had hurt Jamie, and that he stood there and he watched.
Yeah.
But now forensic evidence was now on the investigator's side, because they had done, obviously, blood test analysis, and blood that was found on the bottom of John Venable's shoes was a clear and exact match for Jamie's. So now that they, like, bits of evidence were starting to be collected, no matter how incoherent both boys' fucking stories were at the start, they were now starting to piece together the events of that day.
Mm.
And this is where our trigger warning, if you were not, like, warned before, horrendous, this next bit.
I mentally prepare myself.
A moment. It's a lot, and I don't even want to fucking say some bits, but like that for the sake of the story. But feel free to skip on. So initially, the boys didn't even plan to take Jamie specifically. Their plan was to either just push a child out in front of a car by the Strand Shopping Centre.
What the
Just
fuck?
Just for fucking something to do, right? They actually had another child before Jamie, but that child's mother had copped what was going on and grabbed the kid away. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? So the two boys then just went out under search, and that's when they spotted Jamie when his mom let his hand go for that split fucking second in the butchers.
Jesus Christ.
So Robert Thompson and John Venables had taken Jamie Bulger out of the shopping centre hand in hand. Like, the two of them had a hand each, right? They'd taken him a quarter mile away from the shopping centre to the Leeds and Liverpool Canal. So where the police had their initial kind of inkling, they were kind of right. There was just no evidence there. Like, Jamie had been there.
Yeah.
It was just too late. Jamie was dropped on his face and it was causing injuries. Now, it's not known exactly how he was dropped on his face, but to me, I'm thinking, did one of them try to pick him up and throw him in the canal? Because they were joking about doing that, that they were going to push him into the canal. So did one of them try to lift him up, either then couldn't lift him properly, or did the thought of going too close to the embankment to throw him over, like one of them could have slipped?
Yeah.
It could have been anything. That's just kind of my guess.
Tried to fight back and pushed against them and then got out but fell flat in his face.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure at 3 years of age, you're still going to fight back, you're going still.
Of course. Yeah. He was terrified.
Yeah.
So the boys continued to make Jamie walk until they reached the village of Walton, so where his body was found.
Mm-hmm.
They led Jamie up a steep embankment to a railway line that was literally across the road from the Walton police station.
Oh, fucking hell.
Literally across the road. And this is then when they began their torture. I hate myself for this.
Here we go. Okay.
So, one of the boys threw blue paint into Jamie's left eye. They kicked him, stamped on him, and threw bricks at him. Batteries were put in his mouth, and the police suspected that they may have sodomized him with the batteries as well. A 22-pound bar was then dropped on Jamie's head, and in total, he sustained 10 skull fractures as a result of the iron bar being dropped. State pathologist Alan Williams concluded that Jamie suffered 42 injuries in total, but he actually couldn't come to conclusion as to which one was the fatal blow, because he had severe head trauma, but he also had severe internal bleeding as well from all the stamping, all the kicking, the bricks, everything. So John and Robert then laid Jamie's body across the railway tracks and weighed his head down with stones and rubble in hope that the train that was oncoming would hit him and make it look like an accident. And after they left the scene, the next oncoming train severed his little body in half. So they were clever enough to weigh down his fucking head, so even if he was alive, that he couldn't move.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And to make sure he stayed put as well, to be severed by the fucking train.
The police also strongly suspect that there was a sexual element to the crime, as Jamie was naked from the waist down and the foreskin of his penis had been forcibly pulled back.
Jesus Christ.
Now, when it came to, do you remember I said that Robert Thompson had a child psychologist, like the both boys did, but
yeah,
he was kind of an undiagnosed psychopath. When he was asked about the sexual nature of the crime, at least his psychiatrist said no, not for him. There was a sexual element to the crime, it was not on Robert Thompson's part. And I firmly fucking believe that from what happens in the future that I will get to.
Right, okay.
So, the blood on John's shoes wasn't the only bit of evidence that the investigators found. Forensic tests confirmed that both boys had the same blue paint on their clothes as the one that was found on Jamie's body. Robert's shoe print also matched a pattern of bruising on Jamie's cheek. So he's obviously, after stamping on that child that hard, that the impression of a shoe left a mark on his face.
Fucking hell.
Also, a paint mark in the toe cap of one of John's shoes indicated that when he basically would have kicked Jamie that hard, so any paint that had dried on his body transferred onto the shoe.
Jesus.
Does that make sense?
Fucking Christ. Yeah, no, it does. It's...
Yeah. And on February 20th, 1993, exactly 8 days after the murder, Robert Thompson and John Venables were both charged with murder, And 2 days later, on the 22nd, so 10 days after the murder, the pair appeared at South Sefton Youth Court, where they were remanded in custody before the trial. And initially, the papers were simply given names for the boys referred to as Boy A and Boy B. So Boy A being John Venables and Boy B being Robert Thompson.
Yeah.
But given the fucking horrific details of this crime, the general public were outraged, as they should be. They were disgusted that it doesn't matter what age these boys are, they should not be given the anonymity that they were given. They have done something so horrendous, so they don't deserve it. And so I do. I fully agree.
Yeah.
Name and shame the little bastards. And the trial was set to begin on November the 1st, 1993. And more than 500 protesters gathered at the South Sefton Magistrate Court. Lads, and I mean the videos of this, the fucking scenes. People, like, there was guards having to patrol because they were such an angry mob. And even when the van was going in with the two boys in it to, bring them to trial, they were surrounded by people. They were shaking and pushing the van, trying to get in at these two little boys to fucking murder them.
So
it sounds terrible and I feel weird even fucking saying it, but I don't know if I can blame them.
No.
Like, I obviously do not agree killing the two, but it's obviously not, like,
no.
Even
I've been thinking,
but I can
this,
understand the hurt and, like, the frustration and the anger, because it was a small community, like, everybody is going to have felt that.
Yeah. Because it'd be one thing if it was sort of I don't know, they did something to him, they pushed him and kind of gave him a little bit of a beating or whatever, and he fell, he cracked his skull, he died. They didn't mean to kill him. That kind of way, you know? Obviously, it still wouldn't have been good, but this was completely planned. This was a sadistic, planned murder, and it seems every little aspect of it was thought out. So, I guess a level of rage blindness would have come in then at that point, that you're not looking at them as two little 10-year-old boys, as they were. You're looking at them as what they really were, which was two little fucking monsters.
Yeah, it's not like, do you know, that it was believable that, like, even that Jamie fell or anything, like, they fucking, they brutalised him and left him on train tracks for small
to try
children
and cover
to find
it up.
And I feel like that's the fact that small kids found him definitely really pissed people off as well.
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
If there was the guards that found it, you'd be like, it's really, obviously it's awful for anyone, but, like, the fact that kids found him is just horrific, like.
Absolutely. Now, there were up to 40 seats available for the public to sit in and view the trial. So, obviously, like, you had to have, like, the family members of, like, the defendants.
Each children, yeah.
Yeah, the Bulgers there as well, but it was still open to the public as well.
Right.
Like, it was a short number of 40, but, like, that they could still come in. So, people were actually queuing overnight. Like, it was you were queuing to get fucking concert tickets to, like, a really big artist. They were camping to get first priority to go see, even just to get a glimpse of the two boys. And, like, they had to, on the docks had to be extended, like, they had to be built up because the boys were that small. They couldn't see out over them because it's not meant to house and sit kids.
Yeah.
And, like, their family, they weren't allowed near their family. Their family had to sit right across from them. They could see them, but they couldn't touch them. Like, they couldn't go, like, hold his hand, like, or any of their hands if they were upset or anything like that. But I feel like for those people trying to get in, it was probably just the spectacle to see these two boys.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
It was a morbid curiosity thing, for sure.
Yeah. And this made me fucking so angry. So, during the trial, it was revealed that at least 38 bystanders had actually seen Jamie with John and Robert, even though nobody fucking initially came up and reported it to police until the trial had begun.
Oh, for fuck's
sake.
Until
then, it could all be verified that they actually did see him. Yeah. And only a very, very small few of those 38 stopped and challenged the two boys, asking what they were doing, because Jamie was hysterically fucking crying and he had a bloody face. And when they were challenged, though, the boys had an answer for everybody that asked. The first time they told people, they said, oh, he's our little brother. He's after falling. He's after hurting himself. So we're taking him back home. And then another group of people, he would say to, oh, I think he's lost, but we're going to take him to the police station. Why did those adults in that situation think that that was okay to let two children escort a child to a police station? You're the adult in this situation. No matter if you know the kid or not, those two boys clearly don't know him. They know he's lost. Why would you let the two of them escort him to the fucking police station you go to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, would you not be like, right, I'll go with you, make sure you get there
if
safe?
If you saw a man, if it had been a grown man being like, oh, I don't know him, this kid, I'm just bringing him to the guard station, they definitely would have been like, okay, we'll go with you, because, do you know?
It would have been more sketch, yeah.
There's no, like, but like, yeah, that's the thing, but also, like, kids aren't, that's
responsible.
Kids. Yeah.
Kids
yeah.
can't be responsible for other kids.
No. An adult really should have stepped in there. Like, I don't understand why they didn't.
No. So, it kind of came out then in the trial why the two boys had gone to the shopping centre in the first place. So, basically, in the classroom, they had, like, a pet gerbil that the kids had to look after. And right. it was John's turn this time to go get the gerbil. And so, he left the house and was on the way to the office of the other student's house to go collect it. But on the way, he met Robert Thompson, and he kind of convinced him then to go do a bit of, like, shoplifting with him because it'd be funny. And then apparently Thompson turned around and said, oh, we should grab a kid. And then this is when the whole thing fucking snowballed. So John would go on to say that Jamie liked him a lot more than he liked Robert Thompson, because he would hold John's hand a lot more, he would cuddle up to John. If Robert tried to speak to Jamie, Jamie wouldn't talk to Robert. He would only kind of cling on to John. But in my head, I'm like, obviously there's something wrong with the two boys. But if Robert was clearly showing a disposition where, like, he didn't have normal emotions, kids still do pick up on that.
Yeah.
John was just a lot better at pretending that he fucking had them.
Yeah.
And that's why, if that is the truth, that's why Jamie would have clung to him a lot more than he would have Robert.
Yeah, 100%. Like, he definitely noticed that there was something off.
Yeah. And, like, John and his legal team are trying to paint the picture that Robert was, like, the main instigator and all this. Like, if he did say, let's go grab a kid, I feel like they're both fucking equally involved.
Yeah.
Like, one is not more than the other. But they're trying to say that, like, even the police, basically, that it was Robert Thompson was considered to have taken the leading role in the abduction. But it's thought that it was actually John Venable's idea to go to the train tracks in the first place. And I firmly believe that. Mm. I firmly fucking believe it. Just with, like, and even in the papers, a lot of the times they were painting Robert Thompson to be out the bad one in the group, but even people now are changing their minds. I'm like, no, fuck. Like, if there was a leader in it, it's John.
Yeah, yeah, I never knew much about the case, but it always, to me, it always felt like he was the creepy one.
Yeah. Even the two pictures you can see in his fucking eyes. So, Venable's solicitor, Lawrence Lee, claimed that Robert Thompson was the most frightening child that he had ever seen. So it's still trying to push the narrative that Robert was guiltier than John. And girls, when I tell you this is one of the creepiest details I have ever heard or read in my fucking life, I mean it. So after the boys would come back from their court appearances, because obviously they would have to make more than one, John,
yeah,
the creepy little fuck, would strip out of his clothes after the appearances, saying, I can smell James like a baby. So saying that he could smell James on his clothes, and so he would just get naked.
What the fuck?
Ew, what?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
Is fucking vile.
I'm telling you, man.
Oh my god, ew, like.
You've shut my brain down.
Can't process.
No, I can't. Yeah. I don't. I can't imagine these words leaving the mouth of a 10-year-old child. I can't imagine any of this actually happening, because it's
really
so...
just like. This really solidifies for me that, like, kids can be pedos.
Yeah.
Like, I know that technically they can be, but, like, that child, as a child, was a fucking pedo, like.
God, it's beyond that. It's every sort of...
It's like every horrific thing that could possibly be done.
Yeah.
To abuse a child was done by other children.
And it's terrifying to think what would have happened if they hadn't been caught immediately after Jamie. If they had gotten away with, like, oh, Jamie just got run over by a train, I'm really sorry. Or whatever. Not that ever would have happened due to the amount of physical evidence, but, like...
If.
Just say it did. What the fuck would these two have gone on to actually do? Particularly him.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's not worth thinking about. It's actually not.
No. It's not. So the prosecution admitted several pieces of evidence during the trial, which included 27 bricks. So these are obviously the whole lot of them that they had thrown at this fucking child's head and his body.
Jesus Christ.
27 bricks. A bloodstained stone. Jamie's underpants and the iron bar that was dropped on his head. So in total, the pathologist spent a whole 33 minutes detailing each one of Jamie's injuries.
Fucking hell.
33 minutes just describing injuries.
That's insane.
How extensive is that? And his poor, like, I get upset because it's like, do you know when you just have like little cousins that are like the same age, like it fucks your head, like it's so weird. So with the confessions and an overwhelming amount of evidence, the boys, now aged 11, were found guilty of murder on the 24th of November 1993. And this had happened in Preston Court. So the residing judge, what's his fucking name? Oh yeah, Moreland, sorry, said that they had committed a crime of unparalleled evil and barbarity, and in my judgment, your conduct was both cunning and very wicked. He sentenced them to be detained at their Majesty's pleasure. So for, if you don't know what that is, your Majesty's pleasure, basically, there's not actually a timestamp given. So it's either indefinite or undetermined.
Right.
So, yeah, so like, it's not like you're concrete, okay, you're being sentenced to 25 years. It's down to like a group of lords.
Right.
How long they feel like these kids should be locked up for. And he recommended the boy should be kept in custody for very, very many years to come, recommending a minimum of 8 years. And at the end of the trial, this judge really said, fuck them kids, because he lifted the reporting restrictions and allowed the names of the boys to be printed in the fucking paper so everybody knew exactly who they were.
Who they were.
Yeah.
Right too.
He said that I did this because the public interest overrode the interest of the defendants.
Yeah.
And that was his reasoning for it. And I'm like,
and it mattered as well in the case of like that boy that had to fucking, and his family, that had to flee.
Had to flee. Yeah.
Because like, you can't defend yourself if the names of the fucking actual perpetrators aren't released. You can't be like, that's not me, it's these other two. And yeah. Make sure, how are we meant to know?
Having to run for your entire life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Horrific. Yeah, I'm glad he did that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, completely. Completely. One time I actually fully agree with a judge's sentence.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, good man. So as well as Judge Moreland's recommendation, the boys, you know, like they should receive 8 years, the Lord Chief Justice of England, Lord Taylor Goshworth, recommended the boys should serve a minimum of 10 years. But the editors of the Sun newspaper handed a petition with over 280,000 signatures to the Home Secretary in the aim that the boys be kept in custody for at least 15 years. And their campaign was successful, which meant that the two would have been eligible for release, just say, in February 2008, where they'd be about 25 years of age, right?
Mm-hmm.
But while this was going on, fucking Human Rights Court sticking their nose in it, trying to say that the boys had an unfair trial because it was made public. Do you remember? Because the 40 people were allowed in.
Yeah.
And view it, that it shouldn't have been such a public spectacle as it was. And then the fact that their names were released, they felt like this was a complete injustice on their behalf.
Why?
Because they were still kids. And as well, Chucky 3 had just come out, right? And a week or a couple of weeks before the murder, John Venable's father had rented it and let John watch it. And they think, oh, well,
sake.
This could have had made him do something bad.
Fuck
because
off.
In the film, Chucky or some kid in it got blue paint thrown in their eyes.
What the fuck?
So you can see where they were drawing like a conclusion. But like a lot of people were like, were fighting out about it, saying like, you're not going to watch a film at that age and be like,
I want to do
this. This is
that.
A good thing I'm going to do now in murder. It was just happenstance because the boys had shoplifted modelling paint from an art shop.
Yeah.
In the shopping centre that day. So they had it on hand. So it literally, coincidental, like he wasn't looking at that then and going and planning this whole fucking murder in his head at 10 years of age.
Exactly. There's no way.
But even at that was still like widely believed, because that's why Mam won't let us watch horror films. Because I remember a neighbour of ours, like, even though I was a bit older at this point, Craig was younger. Now the neighbour was 4 and watching Chucky, so that probably shouldn't have been happening either. Anyway, no. And he asked, did Craig want to watch it? And Ma literally said, you are not watching that film. That is the film that those killers watched when they murdered that Jamie Bulger. He was only a baby and they were only kids. You're not watching them. So she was very weird about us watching horror films. Very weird. Like, what let us out? Like, I had to sneak watching them.
Like, I can see why she would be concerned. But at the same time, media does not a murderer make. It's just not fucking true.
No.
It's the whole thing. I can see where she's coming from as well, though. Stuff. Yeah.
I think it's like
she saw
because
them,
she was still over in England, though, while this was happening.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's very close to home.
So I feel
for
like
her.
That a lot of it as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I do understand her perspective, but, like, not coming for Karen at all. It's more in the side of, like, well, it's not fair because they watched Chucky and obviously that's why they murdered this 3-year-old boy. Like, that's fucking bullshit. That is the biggest load of cockwomble I've ever heard in my entire life.
Like, I don't think she believes that anymore.
No,
I feel
she,
like it was
more
just
like,
a panic thing.
At the time.
Yeah, of course,
fresh,
of course.
It was like, that's where they got the inspo, like, which is obviously, I can see where she was coming from.
It was the fear. Yeah. Should I tell you, lads? I wasn't even allowed past the top of the fucking road, right? I'm still going to give out about this. I wasn't allowed past the top of the road when I was 13. Craig was like, piss off to Newbridge on the bastard and bus at 11. This is a beef that me and my mother have and that we will continue to have.
It's always forever. The fucking oldest child is always like not allowed to know.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. Honest Christ.
The girl,
and the
of course,
like,
as well.
Oh, why
because...
can I do this? And I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always a load of shite.
So, we'll go back. So, after the trial, Robert was held at the Barton Moss Secure Care Centre in Manchester. So, you know. So, while John was being detained in Vardy House, a cushy 8-bed unit at Red Bank Secure Unit in St. Helens, which is still, like, Merseyside, or near enough Merseyside. And while there, the boys both received an education and were actually taught to conceal their names and the horrendous crime that they had committed. So, both apparently made good progress, even John Venables, who initially had severe behavioural problems when he entered the unit that he was being held in at Red Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both reported to have suffered PTSD, with Venables in particular experiencing nightmares and flashbacks. I'm fucking delighted. I want that to haunt him for the rest of his days. Torment him, in fact.
Like,
fucking delighted.
They weren't shipped off to Vietnam. Like, it wasn't something that was put upon them. They did it to themselves. Sorry, you expect me to have fucking sympathy?
Mm-hmm.
No, not a bit. Sorry, I just don't.
So while they were chilling in child prison, the European Court of Human Rights, remember that I said they were sticking their nose in it earlier on,
mm-hmm.
were campaigning for the boys to be, like, their sentence to be reduced to 8 years. So they didn't think, obviously, it was fair that these little psychopaths had a public trial, because, you know, what's not fair is robbing a child of their fucking life. So go ask Jamie Bulger's parents how they feel.
Exactly.
And in 2001, in June, it was ruled that the boys were no longer a threat to the public and could be released as their minimum tariff had expired in February of that same year. Home Secretary David Blunkett approved the decision and they were released a few weeks later, serving just the 18 years. Now men, Venables and Thompson, were given new identities, moved to secret locations, were under witness protection. They were given new passports, national insurance numbers, which to us would be like a PPS number, and to the Americans, it's like your social security number. Qualification certificates and medical records. The only stipulation of their early release was that they couldn't contact any member of the Bulger family, obviously, and they couldn't go to Merseyside. They just don't go, because then you're being hauled back into prison. Simple fucking things to abide for the shit that you've done. And John couldn't keep that up. He couldn't keep his new identity a secret, and he told friends on two separate occasions who he was. And this is when he was in his early 20s. He would also have a string of younger girlfriends, but this was put down to his delayed adolescence. Him being in fucking kid prison did not delay his adolescence.
No.
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 Pedo.
Puberty comes regardless, like.
Mm-hmm. He also began to, you know, dab very heavily in cocaine, alcohol, and, not shockingly, child porn.
Oh, wonderful.
And he'd also frequently return to Merseyside. Two things he had to do in order to keep this new life that he should not have been fucking given.
No, yeah.
And he couldn't stick to it. And on the 21st of June 2010, Venables was charged with possession and distribution of indecent images of children. It was alleged that he had downloaded 57 images over a 12-month period. And on the 23rd of June, he pled guilty. So he would basically be in chat rooms pretending to be a 35-year-old woman called Dawnie Smith, and that's how she was abusing her 8-year-old daughter. And how it came out, it was actually Venables. Do you know the way there's those pedo hunting groups where they go and they expose them? Some man from Exeter actually found John, and it was confirmed by the police that it was John that had done this. Holy shit. This 100% is true. It wasn't speculation. Somebody pretended to be Venables. It was actually Venables that had done this. And yet again, he was given a new identity. He was released on September the 3rd, 2013. What? Yeah. But on November the 23rd, 2017, it was reported that Venables had been recalled to prison yet again for possession of child porn. On the 7th of February, 2018, he pled guilty for a second time, this time to 3 charges of having a total of 1,170 images of children, including a paedophile manual, and he was only given 3 years to 4 months for this.
Sorry, a paedophile manual?
How to nuns fucking kids.
Just about what? To say the same
holy
thing.
Holy fucking shit.
Jamie's
paedophilia
father,
for dummies, like.
Yeah, that's it. It might as well have been. It might as well have been.
My God, I want to throw myself out the window.
And like, this, like, obviously had what happened to Jamie had put a fierce strain on his parents, like in their marriage, and after their second child, they just divorced. But Jamie's father, Ralph, was still, like, battling in the courts with his wife, Denise, trying to get John Venables' anonymity lifted because he still posed a serious threat. And I'm sorry, I fully agree. Like, this man should not have the luxury of, like, being hidden by the fucking shadows, exposing for who he is.
A paedophile. And a murderer.
And on March 2019, the motion for that was turned down by Sue Andrew McFarlane because he said that if Venables' new identity was released, he would surely face death. I don't care.
Good.
I don't care. They actually spent $65,000 trying to hide this cunt's anonymity for him to go on record twice to do
horrific things. Because
I don't know if I said it because I was in such a rampage when I said about how many images he had, because I was so fucking angry, I don't know if I forgot to say it. Some of those images he helped make. So it wasn't like he was just looking at them.
He was partaking. Actually abusing children.
He was partaking.
That's...
Yeah. And they don't want to hide him in the UK now, because obviously fucking big lips won't stop going around and like telling people where he is, who he is, because obviously he doesn't fucking care. That they have to now see if they want to hide him in, like, amongst the Commonwealth, so in Canada and New Zealand. And even Jacinda Ardern, like, PM to New Zealand, came out and said, because when she had heard of this, it would have to be a very, like, big exception and that he need not apply. Nobody wants this cunt. And he's the only one that people are hearing of. Once Robert Thompson was given his identity, nobody heard a fucking whisper. Not a peep. Not even that, like, somebody was him and they could have gotten into trouble. Not a peep.
Why is he out or why is he being hidden?
Begs to fucking differ. They can't. For whatever fucking reason, they can't. So this is still why, like, I strongly, with my whole test, I don't give a shit how biased I sound. Fuck off, I don't care. I feel like he is more to blame. Not obviously, the boat boys did those horrendous things to Jamie. Obviously, the evidence spoke for its fucking self. But if anybody did more, I feel like it was a sadistic little prick, given what he had done in the classroom, as well to that, like, the other child. And the fact that the police speculate that he was sodomised with the batteries.
Yeah, if there was that a there sexual was a, aspect,
the whole,
definitely
the foreskin, everything. I fucking hate that they're trying to, like, cover this man up. If anything, not that I'd advocate for someone dying or anything like that.
But why is he out? Why didn't they just leave him in prison and stop wasting money trying to hide him?
Because there's no fucking time given for paedophilia.
Yeah. They can only give him adequate sentence for what he's being charged for. And unfortunately, crimes against fucking children, you don't get a lot.
No. To the point now that people are trying to fucking argue that it's a sexual orientation and shouldn't be seen as a crime, which is... fucking mind-blowing to me that anyone could take that stance and still think they deserve to stand on two legs.
But the point is that there's... I feel like there's definitely pedos fucking everywhere, right?
There is,
yeah. Everywhere. But the point is that I'd say 90% of them know it's fucked up. But there's,
yeah,
like
a...
I'm not defending them, but like it's more like I could be wrong now, but I read somewhere that that it's like it's something you're born with. It's not like
yeah, it's a mental illness.
It's not like a fetish or anything. It's not like they're, do you know what I mean? Well, it is, but
yeah,
I don't know what I'm trying to say, but that like
it's a mental illness, and they physically cannot stop themselves from doing what they're doing. But that's why they're moved into like pedo villages, and they're
that's the thing. If you have any inclination towards acting on it, or even like having images or anything,
yeah,
you should be put away instantly, because there's no coming back from it, because it's not something you can be cured for.
Yeah, he shouldn't be hidden. He shouldn't be allowed to continue in the shadows and have a new identity every single time he abuses a fucking child. He should be out in the open. Everyone should know when he is like 10 foot near their fucking child.
Yeah. Like, string him up by his fucking ankles.
Yeah. What's to say he's not going to take another child now and do that again?
Yeah, just because like he's gone from abusing kids doesn't mean he's going to graduate again to murder.
Yeah. There's nothing saying that he wouldn't, like, nothing. And they're allowing it to happen.
But everything
and they're not only that, they're fucking aiding him to have a nice life with the piece of shit that he actually is.
Everything points towards him actually doing it again. Like, nothing points towards him not. Like, nothing.
And I laugh.
No.
I laugh because his fucking psychologists or his psychiatrists were very, very confident in the fact that, oh, when he's released, he's not going to reoffend in any aspect.
Yeah.
But yet his defence team and his like fucking John psychiatrist were like trying to push the narrative that it was still all Robert. No, the fuck it wasn't.
Like,
but equally guilty. John just had a bit fucking extra, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh my god, I just can't deal with that.
But that's the absolutely horrific murder of Jamie Bulger. And I am so fucking dead after that.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we knew going into it that we were not going to be laughing and joking and stuff like we normally do, and that anger would ensue. But the end, it's the end. What they did to Jamie was bad enough. It is, of course, it's horrific. It's disgusting. But you'd want to hope then that they were just stupid kids from broken homes, and they were acting out in ways that they shouldn't have, and that they kind of went on and had normal lives. And fair enough, Robert did. But the actual fact that they are protecting John is just... I can't, what? 65 grand they've spent protecting a paedophile.
Yeah, of taxpayers' fucking money protecting this fund.
When there is a chronic homeless problem.
Like, I don't know why they don't just relocate him.
Children.
And leave him to fucking rot somewhere.
Schools are so underfunded that children are starving because their families can't afford to feed them and the school meals need to be paid for. Like, their health system is in the fucking toilet, but they can spend 65 grand protecting a fucking paedophile.
Yeah.
Like, I'd say set up, basically, a fucking camp. Put them all in there. They can all work in like the kitchens and shit, cooking each other their food. They get paid for that so they can buy shit in the camp, etc. Self-sufficient, and leave them all there to fucking do their own shit.
But then they won't like, do that because that it's like basically
like
a ghetto
in Florida or Florida, isn't it?
I think there is one.
Yeah, but I agree, like the locking up thing is very concentration campy, so I feel like
that's
why
so
like,
they
that
won't do
fly.
It because it's morally wrong.
But it could be like a care home, like an old people's home, but like for fucking pedos, and just leave them there. Like, and I know what you mean, but at the same time, if you can't live in society as like a normal person who isn't a general, just a danger to everyone around you, then you shouldn't be allowed to live in normal society.
Exactly.
Fully agree.
Is my opinion. If you can't be a normal, even semi-productive person, then why are you not even productive. You don't have to be productive. You can just not be a fucking asshole and ruin everyone else's life. Yeah. Like, nonsense on children and stuff. Like, you exactly. I don't like, think... Oh, I don't know.
I don't see why they're fighting so hard to give this cunt a normal life and a protected life and a better life than half the fucking people in the UK currently have, because he doesn't deserve it. He has no remorse. He's currently reoffending. And I'm saying currently because I'm sure he's out there watching child porn as we're recording this fucking podcast.
I think there was something
podcast.
Like back in 2019, I physically could not go into it anymore because I was just rotted. And I think there was speculation that there was rumours that this man had reoffended, or was apparently John Venables, and had reoffended again and is going to prison. But like that, we don't fucking know, because God knows who he is now, because he's that many fucking names. He only had two things to do to be given this fucking cushy life that he did not deserve. Two things. Yeah. And he couldn't even fucking
do that. And he couldn't even do that. Like, and then the fact that he would actually actively go around then and tell friends, not that he even should have had friends to begin with, fucking weirdo, but that he would actively go around and tell them who he was. That's pride. That is pride, and anyone can fight me to death on that. That is fucking pride. Yeah. He wanted them to know who he was and what he'd done.
Yeah. Because otherwise that shit should be so shameful to you that even, no matter how drunk or how coked up you are, that is not leaving your mouth of who you are.
No. Most definitely not.
And to do it more than once.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think reoffenders, like, it should be a no. No, like... Like, reoffenders of violent crimes or paedophilia or anything like that should just not be... Like, there should be no sympathy the second time around. Like, I'm all for second chances, but, like...
The fact that he reoffended, not even just twice, just the once, that should have been his anonymity gone.
Yeah, I think so too. I think even for, like, rapists as well, you find, like, I know 90% of them don't get fucking put away anyways, but, like...
Yeah. That's a different problem.
If you're caught reoffending, it should be a no sympathy. You're like, you can't be rehabilitated, you're just put away.
Yeah.
Simple as.
I mean, I'm sorry now, if there's a fucking dog that bites a child and it goes and like you're doing behavioural therapy and stuff on it, if it bites a child again, what happens? It's put down.
Yeah.
Fucking do it with people. I don't give a shit. We're just as much animals as the rest of them. Just because we can fucking speak doesn't mean we're any different. And if you're an animal to that point where all you do is destroy the lives of other people from a young age, put them down. Put them the fuck down.
Yeah. No disagreement here.
I don't see why we're like, oh, but it's human life. No, it's not human life. It's an
fuck
animal.
Fuck off.
It's a sick animal. Put it down. And put the rest of us out of our fucking misery having to live with it.
Like his poor fucking family. I can't.
Like, they had the right idea back in the day when Australia was founded, when they just threw him off to this fucking distant land and left him there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they had the right idea. Obviously, the fucking way they executed the whole situation was not ideal, but, like, a small island in the middle of nowhere, like Azkaban, and leave them off.
Fuck it, there's plenty of fucking...
Let them go.
Garbage barges out in the middle of the ocean. Let them live on that.
Even fuck them on Spike Island. Let them rot.
You know the island where the cannibals are?
Yeah. Oh my god, perfect place.
Yeah. Yeah, just send them there.
And you televise it.
Was in North Sentinelese.
Sorry, that was fucked up. I was like, televise it. But honestly.
I mean, Hunger Games, I'd love to see it. But except you're not rooting for anybody to win.
Yeah, like you accidentally kill someone, whatever, like shit happens. Some people are very unlucky. I'm not saying paedophilia can be an accident, but you know what I'm trying to say. That, like, but if you reoffend a second time the exact same crime, I feel like it should be no sympathy. Yeah, and you can't be
done,
fixed.
Gone, bye.
Off with you. Put it. Have fun. Down. Especially, like, violent crimes like paedophilia, rape, murder, like, you know.
Which is also, like, another conversation that is going to rile the fucking three of us up into.
Yeah, I'm just.
An absolute whirlwind.
I am pushing my cuticle so far back, I might not have fingers left at the end of this, so. I think we are sufficiently angry. I'm sure our listeners are just as angry as we are. I don't have any more to say. I really don't.
I have nothing to say.
No, I've given my opinion.
I hope I did it justice. That's the only thing I can fucking say. Like, I'm sure there is more detail of, like, the trial itself if people want to go into it more, and, like, what happened with the public and in the media. There's a lot more detail on that, so feel free to go have a look, because there was just so much I couldn't.
I mean, I feel like the fact that we're so agitated is a sign that you did really well.
Yeah. Yeah, if we weren't angry, you didn't tell it right. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to leave it off there and try and regain some peace in our lives. Next week is my story, and I think it is slightly more fun, and it's one that's a little bit older as well, so it's not as close to home or as recent, or, and it's definitely, I think it's less sad and more kind of, oh my God. And
can
probably
we poke fun?
Kind of funny in parts. Yeah, definitely.
Can I slag at least sure we can. One person off? Because that will bring me the utmost joy.
I'm pretty sure we can.
Then I'm sold.
Because psychopath, definitely. But also kind of a hilarious psychopath at the same time.
I'll take that.
So, yeah.
I'll take that.
We'll definitely, we'll be able to breathe. We'll be able to breathe next week when I come back with my story. And probably not again then when we go to Cuevas, because, you know.
Horrendous again.
Yeah.
All
we'll find out in 2 weeks' time. But yeah, so we'll catch you guys next week for the part two of this child murderer series. And yeah, no, I'm done. So positive vibes and negative tests, and always be a hypocrite.
And don't forget to dent your ankles.
And join our club.